From the WGXE newsroom, this is the WGXE Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for Tuesday, December 20th, 2016. I'm Philip Grant. Roger Hannigan Gilson is reporting in the Daily Mail that the Salvation Army is formulating a plan to introduce the Code Blue system in Hudson. That system would provide ways to shelter the homeless population on cold nights. Jill Wishon, director of the Hudson Salvation Army, and Hudson Police Chief Edward Moore are now in preliminary talks with Mayor Tiffany Martin Hamilton to establish a Code Blue system. Hudson Police currently patrol areas where homeless encampments are located and then refer individuals to social services, which can find them shelter for the night. Under the new system, the new Salvation Army Center on Warren Street would open its doors on nights when a Code Blue alert is active. Alerts would be triggered when the temperature falls below 32 degrees. Wishon said at present 10 to 20 people sleep outside overnight in Hudson, taking shelter in garages or barns when the temperature drops. Catskill Police Chief David Darling said he was unaware of any homeless people in his jurisdiction. The state submitted an emergency regulation on Friday, December the 16th, requiring the homeless be sheltered when the temperatures drop to 32 degrees or colder. Under that regulation, police must perform assessments of the homeless to determine if they are competent to seek shelter on their own. If they are deemed incompetent, the person must be immediately sheltered. Columbia County does not have an existing standing or emergency shelter for the homeless. You can read that full story in the Daily Mail. Roger Hannigan Gilson is also reporting in the Register Star that legislation that would require the state to reimburse counties for the cost of public defenders remains on Governor Andrew Cuomo's desk. Columbia and Greene counties combined spend $1.15 million on legal services for indigent residents every year, and that sum is expected to increase. A sponsor of the bill, Assemblymember Pete Lopez, does not have much hope the bill will be signed. Referring to tensions between the legislature and the governor's office, Lopez said, and I quote, "No one's getting along right now," end quote. The measure was passed by the Assembly and Senate in June. If signed into law, the law would transfer the cost to the state over a seven-year period. The bill would help counties stay under the tax cap by taking away some of their financial obligations, Lopez said. Columbia County Public Defender Robert Linville, a supporter of the legislation, said he was concerned Cuomo would let the year run out without signing the bill, allowing it to die on his desk. You can read that full story in the Register Star. Jeanette Wolfberg is reporting in the Columbia paper on the Hudson Board of Education meeting held on Monday, December the 12th. At that meeting, the board approved a pay raise for substitute teaching assistants from $10.53 to $12 per hour. The board also approved the hiring of a new English as a new language teacher. Laura Morrissey, currently of Pearl River in Rockland County, will start work in mid-January. Present for the meeting, Morrissey called the prospect of teaching in the Hudson District, and I quote, "a real honor," end quote, adding, and I quote, "I plan to teach English as a new language for the rest of my teaching career," end quote. Some members of the high school varsity football team appeared with their coaches to receive public congratulations for a successful season. The team finished 9-1 this year. Their only defeat came in the Section 2 Class B Super Bowl against Glen Falls. Stuttermeyer said the plans to build a new athletic field are moving forward a month ahead of schedule. The new field is expected to be ready next September. You can read that full story in the Columbia paper. There was a 25-gallon per minute untreated 21-hour sewage discharge behind 135 Main Street in Catskill, according to an alert from the New York Department of Environmental Conservation. The permitted overflow into Catskill Creek potentially impacts the fishing there, the DEC warns. The rain and snow melt caused the discharge. William J. Kimball is reporting in the Daily Freeman that Scenic Hudson is praising various Democrats in the U.S. Senate and the House of Representatives for their efforts to have General Electric continue its work removing PCB contamination from the Hudson River. The lawmakers sent a letter to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency asking that a five-year review of the cleanup be expedited before Donald Trump is sworn into office next month. However, incoming U.S. Representative John Faso, whose 19th congressional district is bisected by the Hudson River, has not signed on to the letter. Last week, Basso said there needs to be more information about the PCB levels in the river before a faster review is requested. Scenic Hudson wrote that the lawmaker's December 2nd letter, and I quote, acknowledges the agency's diligence in overseeing the cleanup of toxic PCBs that General Electric dumped in the river from 1947 to 1977. However, it takes the agency to task for declaring the cleanup a success and allowing GE to remove its dredging equipment from the river before conducting the mandatory 5-year review intended to determine the project's effectiveness, end quote. Basso said that criticism during the recent campaign alleging that he is swayed by contributions from General Electric are incorrect. Basso said, and I quote, I received contributions from many different sources. I received, I think, a modest amount from General Electric entities during this campaign, but that doesn't have much to do with my position on the issue. If the studies that were agreed to determine that the levels of PCBs in the fish are too high, then more dredging is going to be required, end quote. Scenic Hudson public policy analyst Althea Malarkey said, according to information received from the EPA, more dredging is likely needed. The data indicated that there was 3 to 5 times more contamination in the river than the agency thought when the cleanup project began. You can read that full story in the Daily Freeman. The Daily Freeman is also reporting that drivers should expect increased impaired driving enforcement during the holiday season. The effort is part of the national Drive Sober or Get Pulled Over campaign and will continue through January the 1st. Drivers can expect sobriety checkpoints and more troopers on the road. Authorities will patrol in marked cars and unmarked vehicles that will allow them to more easily identify drivers using handheld devices while driving. State Police Superintendent George P. Beach II said in a press release, and I quote, our goal during this campaign is to step up our efforts to ensure we can take intoxicated and drugged drivers off our roadways before they injure or kill other motorists and passengers, end quote. You can read that full story in the Daily Freeman. Robert Gavin is reporting in the Times Union that on Monday, December the 19th, federal judge Gary Sharp handed down a 30-year prison sentence to Glendon Scott Crawford of Saratoga County for plotting to use a mobile radiation-emitting device for the purpose of killing Muslims living in the capital region. Crawford, a member of the Ku Klux Klan, planned to use the device at a school at the Islamic Center of the Capital District in Colony. Prosecutors asked the court to impose a life sentence. Crawford, 52, is a former mechanic at General Electric in Schenectady. 16 months ago, he was convicted by a federal jury of attempting to produce or use a radiological dispersal device. He was the first person in the United States to be convicted of the charge, which stems from a 2004 federal law intended to protect the country from anyone using a dirty bomb. Crawford's co-conspirator, Eric Freight of Stockport, created a remote control to set off the device. Frank pleaded guilty to providing material support to terrorists a year ago, and Sharp sentenced him to 8 years and 1 month in prison. Frank is serving his time at a medium-security federal prison in Allenwood, Pennsylvania. You can read that full story in the Times Union. And our final story is on New York's Electoral College. Matthew Hamilton reported at Capital Confidential that New York's 29 members of the Electoral College met at noon on Monday, December the 19th, in the Senate chamber at the state capitol. The vote was live-streamed on the governor's website and broadcast on PBS stations statewide. The 48-minute session ended with comments from Governor Andrew M. Cuomo. And now for the weather. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting a sunny day today with a temperature high near 29 degrees. For Tuesday night, it will be partly cloudy with a low around 19. The forecast for the next 2 days, well, on Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 39 degrees. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 24. And on Thursday, a chance of rain and snow before 1 p.m., then a slight chance of rain between 1 p.m. and 4 p.m., then a slight chance of rain and snow after 4 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 39 degrees. And Thursday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 27. Sunrise today was at 7 a.m., and the sun will set at 4:26 p.m. That will give us 9 hours and 5 minutes of daylight. About the same as yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for today, Tuesday, the 20th day of December 2016. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.